Welcome to Catch the Fire Toronto's weekly sermon podcast. This message was recorded live at Catch the Fire Church in Toronto, Canada. We hope you enjoy it.
I get asked a lot to speak on finances, and so this month that's what we're going to be focusing on. 2 years ago, I did a series in January, and one of the positives that happened was that someone in our congregation, I do not know who, but someone listened to me. Like one of you, God bless you for listening to me. But that person, when we were talking about seed offerings, and by the way, today we're going to be talking about the tithe, the 10%. Next Sunday's about offerings. There's blessings that come in both categories. And then there's a third category that we're going to look at in 3 weeks, which is called seed offerings in the scriptures. And that's ones where God gives you an idea that you don't have the money for, but you're believing for it. You give 1%. And someone in our congregation a couple years ago believed that, heard the Lord say to do that, did that, and their reward was in the millions. And they went to our bank and paid off our mortgage of $1.3 million. So, again, this is an old joke now, but I don't know who that is. So the bad news is I have to be nice to everybody because it could be you. So anyways. So we're going to talk about tithing today. And my little title for this is that it is a test. What I'm going to say is my opinion. Our congregation, our leadership, our pastoral team's opinion. But if you don't agree, you're not going to be asked to leave our church. You are welcome to be here. We have lots of people that don't agree with all sorts of different things. And so you do what you feel is right. We don't check to see who gives, who doesn't give, those kind of things. But our job is to, as pastors and leaders, is to teach what we believe the Word of God says. And what I'm going to be teaching is the teaching of the Christian church for the last 2,000 years. Are we okay on that? One of the things that I looked up was I went to a website that's called Church History Magazine. And so this is a great resource. And it really goes into like way, way back as far as they can, early documents. And it would appear that the third generation of the Christian church in the 100s ADs were tithing people. And it was being preached as this is what we do. When the passages we're going to look at today, the crowd that Jesus is talking to are Jews, and they already are tithers. They are already doing this. It is forced on them. It is part of the law for a Jew to tithe. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, we don't know who that was, but it would appear that in the teaching of that person, that the climate again for most people who are followers of Jesus, especially the Jews, is that this was what they did. The first commandment to be broken. Any idea? I'll tell you. I think it is when Cain murdered Abel. The law has yet to be written when Cain murders his brother. Did God punish him or say, sorry, haven't written that law yet, you get off? So the principles of God's word, before the law, after the law, around the law, they're principles that are timeless. And just because that tithing is in the law doesn't mean that it wasn't a principle beforehand. And you remember that Abraham was a tither and God blessed him. So here's my overview for today, quoting Kenneth Copeland, who's one of the people that Sandra and I are so into. We give money every month to his ministry. The handling of someone else's money is the testing ground, basic qualifier of kingdom promotion and being entrusted with true riches. And that's sort of the summary of what we're going to be talking about today. The passage I'm going to look at, friends, in just a moment, does not say the word tithe, but I think it's implied all the way through, just to let you know. Alrighty, a couple quick things. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, they were a political party, a religious political party. They would be like the Orthodox Jews, the extreme Orthodox Jews today. And these people are tithers, and they're fanatic about it. They don't just tithe their income, they tithe their garden. They're cucumbers. They tithe them, counted them out. Every 10th one goes to the priests. And so Jesus says this, you give a tithe of your spices, mint, dill, cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should not have practiced the latter, tithing, without neglecting the former, godly values. So Jesus is saying, well done guys on that. However, there's a whole bunch of things you're not doing. Keep doing the good things. keep adding in the new things. The writer of Hebrews, chapter 7, about the first 10 verses, is about tithing. And in this passage, it's talking about that human beings like us give to human beings, like priests and pastors who receive the tithes on behalf of communities. And it also compares to Melchizedek. And Abraham met this guy that it turns out has no beginning and no ending. So he's a picture of Jesus. He was a priest at a different level. So he's not an Aaron priest in the appointed priest because you're born in this tribe. This guy, Abraham recognized he's above everything. And so he gave a tithe to Melchizedek. And Hebrews chapter 7 has this summary. It says, in one case, the tenth is collected by people who died, priests and pastors. But in the other case, by him, Jesus, who is declared to be living. And last Saturday, a week ago Saturday, when we had Robert Henderson, one of the things that he was saying that gives us a right to go into the face of God when injustice is happening, when there's negative things happening. And a week ago Saturday, he was talking about the tithe. And he gave a couple stories about people, because we're tithers, we have the right to go before God and say, God, I am living by your promises. I am living by your commandments. Therefore, you as a living Jesus, alive today, I'm declaring that you're alive. Therefore, get to work on my behalf. Start doing what I need to be done in my life. And so he had a good 15 minutes that he was talking about that. Conversely, friends, if you don't believe in tithing, what are you declaring? Are you subtly declaring, Jesus, I don't need you in my life? You're not living, in my opinion. When we give our tithe, we're declaring that Jesus is still alive. When we don't give our life, potentially we're saying, God, I'm going to do this on my own. Don't need your help. I don't think that that's a good category to be in. I think you need to be always relying on Jesus. Alrighty, if you have your Bible, turn to Luke 16, and this is where we're going to focus on this morning. And this story is about money, the most common thing that Jesus talked about, more scripture verses than any other by double, is Jesus talking about stewardship, finances, money, all those different kind of things. So in Luke 16, there's this story of a guy who's caught with fraud. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. And so he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be a manager any longer. You're fired. The manager says to himself, what am I going to do now? My master has taken away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I don't want to do hard work, and I don't want to be a beggar. I want to be in middle management all my life. Easy job. That's what he's saying. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their homes. I'll be able to get another job right away. And so this man, he called in each of his master's debtors, people that owed the company, and he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. And the manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 450. And the implication is, if you give me that right now, you're off the hook. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. And he told him, take your bill, make it 800. And the master commended the dishonest manager, the fraudulent guy, because he'd acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than they are people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Friends, the Bible talks about one of the little things that it says in the book of Proverbs. It intimates this, tells stories of it over and over and over. When you go into a place where there's people that have titles, have positions that are, if I can say it, above you, to take a gift. And that is modeled all the way through the scriptures. So practically, when I go to take my car into the mechanics, I take a box of donuts. And I have figured out the mechanics eat donuts. And I give the donuts to the sales guy, not the sales guy, the service manager, and or it's a girl at where we go at the Hyundai for our vehicle. And her eyes brighten, and somehow the mechanics find themselves at that desk within seconds. I don't know how they're drawn, but they just come out from the garage and they're, oh, and it's like, oh, Mr. Long, good to see you again. And I have found that my bill is consistently less. Somehow they find things that are under warranty that shouldn't be under warranty. And for a box of donuts, favor comes my way. That's what Jesus is talking about. Use money well. Yep. Help it to gain advantage for yourself. Then, now Jesus is going to start talking. And this is, again, to a crowd of people that are already tithers. So I think Jesus is going to use some code words that they're going to understand. Verse 9, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever's dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. And so if you have not been trustworthy, do you see these words here, friends? Trustworthy, dishonest. These are Jesus' labels, not mine. Jesus' labels. If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all these things and were sneering at Jesus. And he said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. So here, look at this, friends. Jesus is talking to Pharisees who are tithers. They're religious tithers. They count their cucumbers. They count their mint leaves. Like, that's how particular they want to be accurate. That's what they're doing. They're being overly accurate. They're givers, correct? Yep. And Jesus is saying, guys, tithing is all about your heart. You've missed the heart of it. You're doing it right. Keep on tithing, but you've missed the heart of it, is what Jesus is saying here. So what people value highly is detestable in God's sight. Three little points here, friends. Trusted or dishonest, which word applies to you? You get to choose which of these words is you. Yep. Whoever can be trusted with very little money can also be trusted with much money. And whoever is dishonest with very little money will also be dishonest with much money. All right. I think that the very little, that passage about very little, is not talking about how much money you make, how much money you make per hour, per week. I believe it's like something like $40,000 in Toronto is the poverty line for a household income. So if you were under $40,000 as a household income in Toronto, people would categorize you as having very little. So is that what Jesus is saying here? That everybody who's in a low income, just starting their job, you're 16 years old, you're 18 years old, and you're working at McDonald's and you're making minimum wage, is Jesus saying that that's the testing ground? Or is he using that little phrase, little, to refer to the 10% of the tithe, of which is the Lord's, that every single person is going to be judged in that category, as opposed to people with low income? I don't think this is talking about low income people, friends. I think this is talking about every single person on planet Earth, that a little of your income belongs to the Lord. Are you okay with me so far? You can buy me ice cream on the way out if you don't agree with me. I'm happy for you to do that. Anyways, so if it's referring to our tithe, friends, then it is for every single person a little percentage. It is 10%. And I believe that what Jesus is saying here is that he's looking at every single person. I'm just asking for a little. I could ask for 50%. I'm not. I'm asking for a tenth, a tithe. And if you're faithful with that, all of a sudden the boundaries begin to come off of you. And the Lord realizes, oh, I can trust you that instead of a $50,000 salary and you're tithing, I can trust you with a $100,000 salary because you're tithing. I can trust you with $1 million salary. Yep. Are you okay with that? And for everyone, it's the same little percentage. It's 10%. So let's move on. Money or riches? Which would you prefer to have, friends? Riches is the correct answer, because riches is above money. Money is a very neutral asset. But true riches, which is the phrase that Jesus is going to use, is talking about the supernatural realm where all of a sudden God just moves and does stuff that's just incredible. And so Jesus says this, if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, the income that comes to you, who's going to trust you with the true stuff? Basically, Jesus is saying this, if you're not, in my opinion, if you're not giving your tithe, don't be looking for the supernatural to be happening in your life. I think basically that's what Jesus is saying. And he's saying that the God stuff, the God stepping in and changing the circumstances, those things are benefits for people who say, it's not about money. It's about me honoring God. It's about me trusting God. It's about me believing that God, when I give him, return to him what is his, that he's able to change the boundaries and do all sorts of spectacular things. After the first meeting, had one of the African ladies come to me, and she was wanting to tell a story. And so we just talked right over here, and she said, I opened my Bible a while back, a Bible she hadn't been using, and she realized she found checks from her employer from 2017 that she'd not cashed. She'd been putting them in her Bible. I don't know why. But there they are, and because they're over a year old, you can't go to the bank and cash them. They're gone. So her and her husband, when they realize that there's this money that is now owing to them, but because of timeline, it's no good anymore, they have one option, and that is to call out to God. And she said, we're tithers, my husband and I are tithers, and so they called out to God and said, God, we made a mistake, but this money really is owing us. And so they agreed that they would pray. The lady went in to see her boss and took all these checks in and said, I realize that these are not valid anymore. However, you were going to be giving me this as salary. I didn't cash it in. I don't know why. What will you do? The lady said, let me think about this. And the next week gave her 10 of the 12 checks and gave her a bonus. Yep. Amazing. So how does that happen? The employer's not obligated to do that. Morally, yes, maybe no, but a whole bunch of companies are gonna say, sorry, if you don't cash it, you're working free. And the Lord stepped in. I love that when the Lord begins to step in these kind of things. And God is the great equalizer. And so people with low income can have spectacular adventures with God, especially in their finances. How do I say this nicely? Sandra and I haven't got the biggest income. So let me just clarify how my income comes. I don't get a salary from this church, but I do get a salary from Catch the Fire World, which is the apostolic covering for all the Catch the Fire churches. So I get an okay salary there. Sandra gets a half a salary for being twice as good as every other pastor. Let's put it that way. And so together we get an average salary for people living in the city of Toronto. However, I think most of you know that last year, Sandra and I were on 3 cruises. Are you aware of that? I rarely pay for a cruise. Or if I do pay, I found ways that the Lord has given me ideas on how to write them off. And so Sandra and I have spectacular vacations way outside of our income level. Yes? I think that's the Lord just a little kiss in saying, I can trust you, I can trust you. When the Bible talks about worldly wealth, I think what we're talking about, friends, is everything that comes your way, where is it? I just passed it. Everything that comes your way, I Sandra and I personally tithe on that. So I tithe on my gross income. By the way, I tithe, but I sort of don't tithe. The arrangement that we have with Catch the Fire here is that it doesn't even show up on our paycheck, that the tithe is taken off of us immediately because it's not mine. It doesn't even come into my hands. It just goes back into the church as a gift. And then in my T4 at the end of the year, it says how much I've already tithed and I get credit for that kind of stuff. Then when the Holy Spirit says, give an offering, give those kind of things, we use PushPay to be able to do that, which is the app that we're encouraging everyone to use. But if there's extra income, Sandra and I are meticulous to tithe. And we just do that all the time. We use PushPay as the primary way that we do that. We tithe on birthday money, lottery winnings. No, so we haven't had those yet. Whatever the income is, we tithe on the gross, because I want to be blessed on the gross. That's just our opinion. Yep. I get a nice income tax. Canada is very, very generous for givers. And so almost all that I give or pay in taxes, I get back because I'm a giver. And then we tithe on that again. And some people, oh yeah, you already tithed on that. Who cares? I'm going to tithe again. I believe, as the Bible intimates, you cannot outgive God. And so we just play it safe, a tithe of everything, except the cucumbers. Except the cucumbers. Don't do that. All right, number three is little or much. What is your future? And Jesus gives us that choice. And he says, if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, someone else's money, who will give you property of your own? So friends, what do you get in your income that is not your property? In your paycheck, what is not your property is the question that Jesus is intimating here. And I think again that he's, even though he doesn't say the tithe, I think that's what he's talking about, is that in my paycheck, in my income, in my disability check, in my pension check, that part of that, 10% of that is not my property, it's God's. And the Lord's watching to see what am I going to do with his property. And if I can't be trusted with his property, how am I going to get property? Yep. I'm going to give you a little tease. This week, coming up, Sandra and I are going to give away about $3,000. You can apply after the meeting. We have about $300,000 left on our mortgage. And Sandra and I have been praying, how come we still have a mortgage? How come God hasn't stepped in with another big gift? A couple years ago, someone gave us $100,000. Ba-boom. We'd like another one of those, except this time we'd like a $300,000 check. And so how do we expedite being financially blessed by God? And so this week, one of the things that we purposed to do is we're going to give away $3,000 something that's going to match our outstanding mortgage on our house as a seed. And it's a statement to God, we believe in you and your principles. And the tithe, friends, in my opinion, is a statement that says, I believe in God's principles. And every time we tithe, friends, what we are doing is we are declaring that Jesus is alive over our lives. Hebrews chapter 7. We're declaring him alive and living, which means that he can step in and do the supernatural. Okay, real quick, friends, Malachi chapter 3. And some of you may be saying, well, hold it, this is an Old Testament prophet and this is irrelevant. No, it is not. For those of you who feel that this passage is irrelevant, you need to read verses 1 and 2 of Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is a pretty sharp prophet. He goes, here is my target audience for this passage. He says, the audience is people who are living after the messenger comes, who Jesus said was John the Baptizer, and before the second coming of Jesus. Guess who Malachi's talking to? Look at your neighbor and say, it's talking about you right there. He's talking to our generation, friends. This is not an Old Testament. It's an Old Testament prophet prophesying into the future. It's amazing what he says there. Anyways, the summary is this. Will a mere mortal, will human beings rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and in offerings. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. You see that I underlined the word whole tithe there? I'm going to give you my opinion. My opinion. I think that when the Bible says a whole tithe, that means the whole of my 10% goes somewhere as a whole and not divided up. My personal view is that Sandra and I, we give the whole of our tithe, 10% to Catch the Fire, which is our storehouse, where we live here. We receive benefit. Friends, I don't know if you know this, but I think Sandra and I have grown the most of anyone at this church. We've been here 25 years. Mary Audrey can attest to us. We were busted up, wounded people. Sandra, on our interview by John and Carol to say, would you come and be pastors? This is what Sandra said at our job interview. Fine, but I won't love anybody if I come. And we got hired. I'm listening to my wife at a job interview to come and join Catch the Fire in the heat of revival. And my wife says, sure, I'll come, but I won't love anybody. It's like, don't say that? And we got hired. That's how broken we were, friends. Yep. So I love to pour in because I receive just as much as you do. Last Saturday when Robert Henderson was here, it's like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Like I was getting hit to the heart over and over again. And I believe that, this is my opinion, Sandra and I tithe our whole 10% here. I personally believe that if you break up your tithe and you give 2% to Catch the Fire, 5% to Kenneth Copeland, 2% to 700 Club, if you break it up, I think that you've taken your tithe outside of being a tithe and you moved it into the offering category, which still is blessed, but it's a different kind of blessing. That's my own opinion. I'm done. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. And then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. There are three benefits, three promises that go along with tithing. And number one is the ministry that is receiving the tithes is blessed. And friends, that's who Catch the Fire is. We are a blessed church. This summer, when we took an offering for sending kids and youth to kids camp, we asked for 25,000 and got 28 and got 54. Am I right? Something like that. We're asking for 15,000 to buy backpacks for 500 kids. We get 16,000. Why are these things happening? Yeah, it's because everybody is doing their little part, and their little parts are big things. We have 78 employed people at Catch the Fire. The City of Toronto, a while back, was doing a financial study. One of the city councilors was trying to subtly get rid of churches, say that there's no financial benefit for being a church. They're not contributing into the kingdom. And so when I heard about that, I said, could you please do a feasibility study on Catch the Fire Toronto and find out, do we have more employees than National Car Rental does? Yes. What about the bakery next door? Do we have more employees? Yes. Who is a better financial contributor to the economy? Catch the Fire of 1,000 plus people on a Sunday morning, 1,500 people going to restaurants in the community, or is it the bakery next door with their 15 employees going to the restaurants? Who's making the bigger financial impact? And the City of Toronto, when they did their study, goes, okay, all right, churches count. Here's another thing. I'm just looking at my clock. I got 30 seconds. I won't say it. I will say it. Save it for next week. Go for it? Okay. The City of Toronto relies on followers of Jesus for volunteers. Hospitals, almost every volunteer is a follower of Jesus, almost exclusively. Food banks, followers of Jesus. Yep. Okay, that was it. I could go on, but not going to rant. Alrighty, so churches, where you give your tithe, they're blessed because they've got income to spend. And the benefit of that comes back to us. And so we're one of the few churches in Toronto, friends, that is able to hire Jonathan Clark as a full-time worship pastor and Dallas Wigston as his, what do you call Dallas? An assistant worship pastor. Officially, yeah, you're called the, you know, can you please do that guy? We have two employees that give their full time to listening to the Holy Spirit, to writing new songs. These guys are very modest. They don't put their names up on the songs, but we're singing them all the time. How does that happen? How are we worshiping with this? It's because you've sowed in and we have resources now that everyone gets blessed. Number two is protection for individuals. Look at this. It says, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, which is your income, and the vines in your fields, which is your assets. You don't eat your vines if you're a grape farmer, do you? You don't eat them. They're there year after year after year. So I think what Jesus is saying is, off of your income and off of your assets, your house, your pension plan, the devourer is pushed back if you're a tither. If you're not a tither, you're on your own. Remember, because you've declared Jesus isn't living. You've said, I'm on my own. I'm going to keep it all, and I'm going to look after myself for it all. But tithers are able to depend on the Lord to say, you push the enemy back, which is amazing. Last one is promotion for individuals and for our church. All the nations will call you individually. How many of you would like to be called by God blessed? Yeah? And yours, talking about our church family, will be a delightful land. Well, friends, we're going to pray. I've just passed my marker here. By the way, do you know why we have timelines for our church? Is for those of you that bring a friend, especially someone who doesn't know Jesus, we really want you to be able to say, it's a 90-minute meeting, and for us to do that, rather than they show up for a three-hour meeting. Your friend's never going to come back with you if you say it's a 90-minute meeting and it's 3 hours. Yep. So that's why we really try to work on the time really, really well. I'd like you to stand up with me. I'm going to put a prayer on the screen in just a moment, friends. In fact, it's going to come up right now. Those of you who are not giving your tithe to the Lord, I'm going to encourage you to take a quick look at this and say, I'm in. I can pray that. Those of you that are followers of the principles of tithing, about halfway down this prayer, you get to start praying in, and it'd be the fourth line, as I return. So those of you that haven't been tithing and are going to say, I'm going to give this a season. In the Bible, friends, a season is 3 months, 90 days. I was at St. Jacob's, the farmer's market on Thursday. Sandra and I got some fresh corn. They said it was fresh out of the ground. It looked like it was. We got some peaches, we got some apricots, all fresh. And guess when the harvesting time started? Now, when were the plants planted? 3 months ago. That's a season that we begin to see the effect of our sowing. And so if you haven't been tithing, friends, the Bible says to test him. And I want to encourage you to be faithful to him for 3 months and just see what happens. Let's read this together. Those of you that are already tithers, let's start from the top just to encourage our friend that's sitting right beside us that isn't. Just a joke. Let's say this together. Father, forgive me for not trusting you. I don't want to be known by you as dishonest or a robber. I want to be trusted and blessed by you. As I return my tithe to you, please trust me with true riches. I choose to trust you with my little so that I can be trusted with much more. May our church family be blessed as we honor you as our provider, protector, promoter. Why don't you close your eyes with me? Holy Spirit, we welcome you right now. Father God, if these principles, Old Testament, New Testament, are true, would you just speak that into our heart right now? And friends, if you're hearing thoughts like, well, I can't afford the tithe, can I suggest that that doesn't fit with the scriptures we've been reading today? So I don't think that would be God talking to you to say, I can't afford to do this. The Lord would be saying, test me. Be a trusting individual. Trust me. And so, Father, I'm asking for those that this is maybe new, and I recognize that some of you are new followers of Jesus and maybe haven't heard these principles before. But Holy Spirit, we want to align ourselves to the blessing of God for a church and as individuals. And Daddy, I'm asking that over our church would be the word trusted. A trusting church. That over our church would be the word blessed. The nations would see us as blessed. The city would see us as blessed. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to be supernatural in our lives. Those true riches where your divine protection kicks in, divine provision kicks in, divine promotion kicks in, where there's the kiss of God for our church and for every person who's a part of our church family. Daddy, we're seeking to be blessed. We're seeking to live in that realm of just trusting you all the time. And Daddy, we want to honor you with the first of our income. We want to bless you with your tithe. Show ourselves faithful to you. We bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you encounter God and were inspired by this message today. To watch video of this message and other messages from Catch the Fire in Toronto, visit catchthefire.tv. Catch the Fire has churches, schools, events, missions, and media all around the world. To find out more, visit catchthefire.com.